And now we're joined by Jason Lacan-4 from CBS, and he's already on the phone, tweeting, texting, talking to the people in the league. He's got all the inside information. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, good
friendly
to see
handshake,
you.
Friendly handshake, Anita.
All right, so what's the buzz here at the Combine? Let's start with the actual draftees first. Obviously, we still have a couple days of workouts left to go, but what's the early buzz here that's things that have maybe taken general managers by surprise that they're talking about?
I don't know if there's you know, anything that's really thrown people off. Some guys maybe came in a little smaller than you thought.
Randy Gregory.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always that. But you come to the combine knowing. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really a shocker anymore. I mean, those kind of things happen. You know, I guess there's sort of been doling reports about Winston. I know somebody came out in the middle of the week and said he's definitely throwing. I've never heard that he is throwing. I'd heard all along that it's very unlikely he would throw. And I don't think in the end he will. And now we'll see what's going on with his shoulder. But I find for me, and I think for a lot of the teams, the combine is much more about, okay, there's the measurables and the medical for these players, and that's standard, that's across the board. But then it's each team starting to really get into its offseason in earnest. It's about meeting with agents for your players. It's about meeting with agents who may happen to represent some prospective unrestricted free agents from other teams, maybe. And there's certain boundaries you can and can't cross, and different teams go about it in different ways, but there's always going to be certain number of players who, you know, hey, at the price point we have them right now, they're not feasible for next year. So how much negotiating room is there? Would this guy take less to stay? Would that guy take less to stay? What could we do to move this cap number around? It's about getting your house in order so that you can then determine these budgets and then go out and truly start spending that money next month.
So obviously the biggest storyline going into this draft is the fact that the Bucs have the number one pick. Tennessee has the number two pick. And so what quarterback is going to go number one to the Bucs, because they did say goodbye to Josh McCown? I'm hearing that Marcus Mariota's interviews have been unreal, very comparing it to Russell Wilson's
not a surprise.
Yeah. Interviews.
No, exactly.
I had the opportunity, of course, we both work at CBS Sports Network, when Marcus Mariota came
after
in
the Heisman
for the show, and we were able to hang out and touch the Heisman. What a fantastic young man.
Special kid.
Special, very, very special young man. Where, of course, on the opposite side, you're hearing Jameis Winston more NFL ready based on the mental aspect,
yes,
and the way that he can read defenses, but such a big concern off the field. In your time here in Indy, talking to agents, talking to owners,
yeah,
talking to scouts, what are you hearing? What do you think the Bucs are going to do with the number one
pick?
I think
the Bucs are already pretty comfortable with Jameis Winston, the human being,
really,
the work they've done.
Wow.
And they've done a lot of work, and it started before the Senior Bowl.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think they'll only continue to be impressed with him as ownership gets to spend time with him, as he comes in for a visit and throws for them. They're going to put him up on the board. He's going to show he's a pro-ready quarterback, at least from the mental aspect of the game and reading defenses and what Jimbo Fisher taught him. He was coached very hard. He was coached like a pro in college. I think they're going to find out that he's a somewhat silly, immature kid, but not a bad kid, not a bad seed, not someone who they feel like is going to upset the apple cart and turn our franchise on its ear. I think he's going first overall, and I believe that the Bucs, as this process plays out, will be hoping that fans and other people can sort of get the same sense that they get, that, yeah, this is a kid who may have made some mistakes here or there, but is someone who with maturity and with the normal development that everyone goes through, not just football players, could be a leader of their organization.
And I think it's interesting when you look at Mariota then. You know, teams can do work on Winston. You can talk to people, find out what type of person he is. You really can't do
exactly
work to figure out if Mariota can drop back, read a defense, go through projection, his progression, stay in the pocket, and compete against NFL defenses. Teams are going to really, frankly, have to roll the dice a little bit on that,
absolutely,
aren't they?
There's no way to simulate that. There's no spring developmental league where you could go watch a kid play six games or whatever before you draft him. This is it. All the evidence is in terms of the game tape, and that's not going to change. And recently, the spread guys, the guys who hadn't been under center much, the guys who had always been in shotgun, you know, the results have not been good across the board. So not to say that none of them had success, but by and large, it's, you know, the pendulum seems to be swinging the other way.
Yeah.
I still think the kid will go high, but I don't know that he goes necessarily to a team where he's absolutely positively has to start from day one.
I would hope not.
You know, so that's the thing. People talk about Chip Kelly trading up.
I was just going to go. We're talking about teams really not knowing, knowing him well, knowing what his strengths, his weaknesses are. If there's one guy who knows better than anyone else, it is Chip Kelly. He has a lot of control, a lot more control this season than he did last. What are you hearing? Do you feel he is going to wheel and deal and try to move up?
I don't know that he or anyone goes up to two to do it. Maybe somebody does. For him, it'd be such a big jump. It'd be a pretty big jump for Cleveland also. But I think if he gets out of that top five, if he's at that Jets pick, I think the Jets will be open for business and hoping Cleveland, Philadelphia, whomever goes up and gets him. But you're right. If it's Chip Kelly, there's going to be a unique pressure. Like, well, wait a minute. Well, he knows this guy better than anybody else, and he's giving all this up to get him. And Nick Foles is the other guy there, assuming Foles isn't part of the trade package to move up. So then, you know, is he going to start from day one because it's Chip Kelly and such a great offensive mind
system,
and all that?
And that system's
right,
going
to
fit him.
He seems to fit. But, again, he's still going to have to make reads. He's still going to be much more asked of him than was asked of him at the college level, and I don't know how quickly that calibrates.
You know, Jason, you mentioned how this is the combine for the draft, obviously, but a lot of work and business being done in the NFL, and free agency comes a lot quicker than the draft does. So let's focus in on the Giants here for a second. Last year, Jerry Reese, uncharacteristically, extremely busy and quick and rapid in free agency. How do you see the Giants' offseason plans kind of forming for this offseason?
Yeah, I think it starts from within, and it's figuring out. I mean, I heard the caller talking about Walter Thurman before I came in, and obviously Jason Pierre-Paul is the number one sort of organizational I won't say it's an obstacle, but situation to figure out.
Hurdle, how about that?
Hurdle, yeah. And can they make that happen on a long-term deal, or do they go with a transition tag, or are they able just to go ahead and put a franchise tag on them, even at that number? So I think that really sets the table for everything else that they do. I think a lot of their growth will continue to come from within. I think the draft will remain their lifeblood. I just don't see them as a team that wants to or has to set the market across the board, you know, try to get 4, 5, 6 starters every year in free agency. A, it doesn't work. It's not really what they believe in at their core. Now, they want to use it judiciously to find some value here or there. I think a lot of it, though, is you know, guys like Prince and getting him healthy and trying to keep him healthy, getting a Victor Cruz back. You know, there's a lot of ways where all of a sudden you look at your roster from your last game, you look at your depth chart, and all the guys from IR aren't on it, right? And then the offseason starts, and you take those guys off of IR, and you stack them back, and you're looking at your 70, 80 guys under contract. All of a sudden, your team looks a whole lot better. Now, those guys have to stay healthy, obviously, and everyone has to stay on course with their rehab. But I think a lot of their growth comes from within it, and not just personnel-wise, but year two with McAdoo and all the strides they showed last year. And then you get a Cruz back in there and a second year with Eli in this system. And I didn't mention, and obviously extending Eli, I think, has to be a priority as well, but that's a slow market to develop.
What about Antrel Roll? You know, what's the landscape out there in regard to free agency when it comes to safety?
There's not a lot. There's not a lot out there. There really is, and I think the Patriots will franchise McCourty. So I think
wow, really?
Yeah, I do. So even at this stage of his career, I think there'd be a, you know, if he hits the open market, I think there'll be teams that are interested. You know, and that to me is a situation. I think you can look at most teams and find a guy or two where it just makes sense for all parties to see. Whether it's because a guy, not in this case, but a guy has off field, or a guy's coming off an injury, or a guy is advanced in his career. Maybe you need to let a couple teams actually put formal offers on the table, and then you see, does it make sense for us to match, or doesn't it?
Final question for me, Jason. How do you see this free agent market playing out? Is this going to be a market where we've seen the last couple of years? You have a quick, rapid movement up front,
yeah,
and then you're going to have that 2 to 3 week low, and then those middle and low guys will start slowly getting picked off.
Yeah, I think it's the same as normal. It's not a great group. To me, I look at you look at these guys on paper, especially when the franchise guys are picked out, and then some guys will get extended before the market opens. It's the worst class I've seen, frankly, to me. I don't see a lot of game changers there, but teams have cap space, and you have to spend in the CBA 89% of the cap. So these middle-tier guys will get top-tier money in the first 36 hours of free agency, and then I think it will cool down, and then the owners' meetings are about a week in. Everybody gets together there. That sort of starts the second wave of free agency, and then we're kind of out.
And you do expect a lot of franchise tags in the next week?
I think at least four and maybe five. I think there's 7 or 8 teams that have decisions to make, but I think McCourty gets franchised.
Dez?
Dez gets franchised for sure. Demaryius gets franchised for sure. I think I'm forgetting somebody. There were definitely 4 I sort of had.
McCourty you had before.
McCourty, yeah. There's still somebody else I'm not thinking of right now. But.
JPP?
Oh, Justin Houston.
Justin Houston, absolutely.
Justin Houston,
yep. Absolutely. And then JPP, I wonder if it's a transition or something like that.
Okay, my last question for you. We were both out in Arizona. We spent the week out there leading up to Super Bowl, and probably one of the biggest topics amongst media and was there's this thought that Adrian Peterson is out of Minnesota and ends up in Dallas.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise
me. Adrian Peterson behind that Dallas offensive line would be sick.
Yeah.
It would be dumb in a good way, of course. Just absolutely dumb. I mean, are you hearing that? I read before I came in today, Adrian Peterson came out and said something. Oh, you know, I'm not getting a good feeling about going back to Minnesota. So I think we're seeing it develop. But what have you heard? What do you know? How realistic is that
I think it's very realistic. Now, again, wow. With him, it's going to have to come down to financials. The Minnesota say they want him back. I talked to Rick Spielman the other day. They won't commit to what price. I don't think they want him back at $13.5 million a year. So that's where his leverage comes in because he says, well, I'm not going to renegotiate with you. So
what's their dead money if they cut him?
It's nothing. It's scant. It's like 1.4 or something. There's no dead money issues. There's no cap issues. There's no cash issues. It's just a matter of can they find a middle ground. I don't think he wants a middle ground. And if he thinks Jerry Jones is willing to pay him, maybe not 13, but 12 or close to it or whatever, I still wonder if it ends up being a trade. I would think Minnesota would want some value for him, and I could see something happening. You know, the problem here, too, though, is it's April. That the earliest he gets reinstated, unless he wins his court case, would be April 15th. Who's going to have the wherewithal, the cash to bring him in? I suspect Jerry keeps a little something on the side for him, especially if DeMarco Murray's already walked off someplace else by then.
Do you think Murray's going to get give me one of those first guys that gets that big $50 million contract with somebody and walks?
I don't know that he gets the kind of money that he may think he can get. I don't know that he gets $10 million a year. You know, can he get close to Shady McCoy in that 9 range? Maybe. I'm not sure. Marshawn Lynch, I think, will be the first chip to fall, and that'll be interesting to see. I know they're going to play around with his contract. I know he's threatening retirement. But
you don't
I think,
buy that one,
I think
huh?
Money will ultimately talk when that number gets right. And so where is that number? Is that number right at McCoy? Is it just under McCoy? You know, that could help DeMarco Murray a little bit, but I don't think he's getting anywhere close to Peterson money. I don't think he's getting 10. Does he get 8? I don't know.
Jason, we appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks
my
so
pleasure.
Much.